Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to be looking at verses 40 through 44. This is at the crucifixion of Jesus. Please, as we read this passage, look with me at two things as we prepare our hearts to take the Lord's Supper. As we look at Jesus, as we remember his death on the cross and examine our hearts, think with me about two things from this passage. First, man's perspective on what was happening at the cross of Christ. And second, the reality of what was happening. First, we see man's perspective through five ridiculing statements made about Jesus Christ. The first ridicule we see in verse 40 comes from those passing by. They say, "The one who would destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself." In other words, Jesus said he could do this amazing thing, and now look at him, hanging on a cross. He said he could destroy and rebuild the temple, and he can't even save himself. The second taunt comes from the same passersby. At the end of verse 40, "If you are the Son of God, come down now from the cross." Note, these people passing by understood who Jesus claimed to be, the Son of God. And they realized that the Son of God was more than just a man. He was someone who could do miraculous things like come down from a cross. So with their mocking statement, they in essence are saying, "You are not the Son of God because you cannot come down from the cross." We hear the third ridicule from the chief priests, elders, and scribes. And while the passersby directed their comments at Jesus, saying, "You," these religious leaders direct their comments to the crowd about Jesus, saying, "Him, he." They say in verse 42, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself." The chief priests were the one who heard of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And the scribes were there when Jesus caused a paralytic man to walk. And here they are, mocking the one who saved others because he was not saving himself. The fourth taunt comes from these same people in verse 42. They say, "He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him." Here, these religious leaders convey confidently that they know what the King of Israel is like. They know the Messiah, and he would surely, surely not be one who would die on a cross, but would save himself instead. So they are saying, "You are not the King of Israel because you can't come down from the cross." The fifth and final taunt comes from these leaders in verse 43. "He trusted in God, then let God deliver him now if God wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God." This insult is different from the rest because while the other ridicules were telling Jesus to save himself, this one turns to God. What's being ridiculed here is not Jesus' claim to destroy a temple or to be the Son of God or be the King of Israel, but rather God's desire and will to save his son. They're saying, "You're not the Son of God because if you were, God would be saving you right now." Verse 44 tells us the criminals on the cross mocked Jesus in the same way. So in these five verses, man's perspective of what was happening on the cross that day comes out clear. From the lowly criminal to the leaders of Israel, they all looked at Jesus hanging on the cross and they all said, "Foolish. This is foolish." But in reality, what was happening? The passersby mocked Jesus' claim to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days as if it couldn't happen. But in reality, right before their eyes, this was taking place. The temple of Jesus' body was being destroyed. And in 3 days, he would raise it from the dead. The chief priests ridiculed Jesus for not coming down from the cross, for not saving himself. They declared he saved others and could not save himself. But in reality, in order to save others, Jesus did not save himself. In order to save you, believer, in order to save me, in order to save everyone who would trust in Christ, Jesus did not come down from the cross. He did not save himself so that he could save others. They mocked him, saying he was not the Son of God, not the King of Israel, because he couldn't come down from the cross. The King of Israel, the Son of God, would surely not die on a cross, they said. But in reality, this is precisely what the King of Israel, the Son of God, the King of Kings, did. He died on a cross. And finally, they said that God did not desire Jesus because he did not save him. But in reality, God loves his Son. At the baptism and the resurrection and the transfiguration, God said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. The crowd saw Jesus' death on the cross as foolish. But in reality, this is how God saves sinners. The King of Kings, God the Son, came down on the cross and he died. He did not save himself so that he could save others. How do you see the cross of Christ? Do you see the realities of the Son of God hanging on the cross and taking the wrath of God and saving sinners? Or do you see the cross as foolish? If you have never trusted in Christ, then I want to say that we're glad that you're here. This time of communion, though, is a time for believers, so please let the bread and juice pass you by. But please listen to 1 Corinthians 1:18. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You who have not trusted in Christ, you're perishing now. You're perishing. You're lost. But you can right now trust in Jesus and be saved. You can right now look at Jesus hanging on the cross and see the realities of God saving sinners. Believer, why don't you see the cross as foolish anymore? Why do you see these realities? Do you remember God's mercy in your life? Let that lead you to hate the sin in your life and confess and forsake it now. Your Savior and mine endured all of these taunts and ridicules for our salvation, but that was not the worst part. The worst part was him being made our sin, taking our punishment. These taunts were nothing compared to that amazing reality. So, believer, take this time to remember Jesus. Take communion. If you're clinging to any sin, confess it now. Forsake it. This is what believers do. But if you refuse to repent, let the bread and juice pass you by so as not to take it in an unworthy manner. But again, remember, believers repent from our sin. You cannot stay in this place of unrepentance. So I plead with you now to turn from it and take communion with us. So as the men come forward, please remember these realities. Praise God that you can see the cross, not as foolish, and take communion on your own, and I'll come back up and pray for us.